This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
No need to wait until November to unwrap Black Friday deals. Blinds.com is having Black Friday in July. With some of the best deals of the season, Blinds.com is the better way to shop for customized window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Choose from premium blinds, shades, shutters, and more. Blinds.com even has outdoor shades for your patio. Blinds.com makes it easy. Need help with the measure and install? Blinds.com can take care of it for you. Their design experts are always ready to help you make the perfect selection with a free consultation. No matter how many window coverings you order, installation is one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered and their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you'll always rest easy with Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com's Black Friday in July now. Save up to 45% plus score premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
During the season. But we need to let it calm down so that it doesn't turn into something bigger. That's really important for us and for him. In order to do that, we've got to actually let it calm down for long enough so it's zero issue. And then once we do that, then it's just, it forces us into a calendar of building him back up. So it's going to be, you know, it's not going to be days. It's going to be weeks. And how many weeks? Not good enough. None of us know exactly how many weeks, but it's going to be weeks, not days. And, you know, he'll work hard and come back. And we've stated the goal that he's, you know, pitching starting games for us at the end of the season and hopefully beyond the end of the season. And that's absolutely still in play.
I do not hear a close return, though. I hear probably done for the whole month. Is that how you interpret that, Donnie? Just take out your little, you know, how when they're at like a UN meeting and everybody is speaking a different language. And so like that you wear those, they have those headphones that I guess translated on the fly. They have, I think that's what those people are listening to those headphones for. At least that's what I've always told myself my entire adult life. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
They have those fancy meetings and everyone's got their different headphones on. I assume that whatever's being said is being translated or played in their native tongue. Take your Ben Cherington interpretation headphones and put them on. I do not hear a Jared Jones return there until earliest, like second week of August, probably. All of July. Because he might start throwing again by the end of the month, but I don't think they would let him just roll right back in. All of July, and then maybe, what, a rehab start?
Yeah, at first when I saw the tweets come out that he was getting put on the IL, I thought, okay, I'm wondering if this is a kind of a sneaky way to
get him some extra rest,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, because we know that they might run into a conundrum once we get to September if this team still is in it, if they do end up going on a little winning streak here. If they are still alive for a playoff spot, that's going to be a guy you want down the stretch on the mound for you. At first, that's what I thought, but then I hear him say that, I see a little bit more into it, and I think, well, it's a little bit more than just a sneaky way for him to miss a couple of starts. Like, this is a month plus,
right?
Probably what we're looking at here.
The longer I think about stuff like that, the more I think, you know, they might bring him back and feel like he's fresh and they don't think it's going to have any long-term carryover, so they'll let him pitch. But it also just, it further underscores that if you're going to be without one of the three guys who I think makes you a potentially special team, Skeens and Keller being the other, because you've got these front-end starters, if you're going to be without one of them for 5 or 6 weeks, I think it lessens the impetus to do anything to this team. because it raises the chances that you're just going to continue sort of floundering and not be able to rip off win streaks. What do you want to see the Pirates do? 412-928-9370. I ask this in part because you just watched the culmination of a seven-game homestand where they went 3-4 against fellow NL wildcard contenders. Did it push you in one direction or another, this team's performance? 412-928-9370. Grant is on 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Grant.
How's it going?
Good.
Most Pirate fans are thinking the same thing. You probably have to stay put, but they don't spend money. They've never spent money. And you need to spend money. You know, you got the Yankees. They got one guy on their payroll that's paid more than our entire team.
Grant, would you say you're the life of the party at most places you go? A high-energy guy?
No, not really.
All right, I couldn't tell.
Got a little Gentilly vibes there. If Gentilly,
at the very end.
Yeah.
Just the energy level was non-existent there. I mean, he was repeating a refrain that, let's be honest, we've all heard, if you've done this job at all for any length of time, you've heard, but the energy level was just non-existent. I bet you he could give T-Bird a run for his money in a hot dog eating contest. Hey, you want another one, Grant? Sure. Whatever, man. It's not just about spending money, though. It's about spending it wisely. Do we have to retire for the time being they should have gotten Rhys Hoskins then? Chapman still looks like $10.5 million that they should not have spent. I mean, he's the reason primarily that they ended up taking 2 out of 4 and not 3 out of 4, and that's a big deal. Rowdy Tellez is sneaking up very quickly on this reality where he's hitting well enough that you have to stop using him as an example of one of Charrington's mistakes. Been one of their two best offensive players basically for the last month. He had the game-winning hit again. The vibes have completely shifted. Still, the fact remains they absolutely should have, I think, done something different than giving. You know what's really cynical about the Chapman move when I think about it? They acquired him. They signed him for $10.5 million. And to hear Jason Mackey tell us before the season, we asked him point blank if they intended on getting him just to trade him, and he said yes, and that might even happen if they're in the race. That's a cynical use of $10.5 million, and it's definitely backfired because he has, you know, just when people I think were ready to say he got over his early season struggles, he's gotten back into it where he can still throw 100, 101, but he doesn't miss bats. Ted is on the Fan. Hey, Ted.
Hey, how you doing? I'm not going to be like that previous guy.
Was I wrong there? Was he very low energy, Ted? Is that fair of me?
He must have been out in that sun all day at PNC Park. I don't know what his problem was. But I got two numbers for you. 4-72. We're only 4 games out of a playoff spot right now with 72 games to go, guys. I'm not going to say I know a lot about baseball, but I used to work in baseball back in the 90s. And baseball is full of streakiness. And I guess my other question with you guys is, if we were going to go out and spend some money, if you were going to get the guy to actually open up his pocketbook, who would we really need? Because they need bats.
Like Luis Robert Jr., the huge cost and trade capital that you could go get, that guy would be a transformative player for their lineup.
I was there Friday night. There were plenty of bats against team.
You watched their best offensive game of the year, though, Ted.
I'm just saying, the bats are there. They just got to come alive. And the other thing, too, that you guys aren't taking into consideration with that 6% is any of these teams, Atlanta, St. Louis, San Diego, mm-hmm. Arizona, the Mets, and even San Francisco could all have injuries between now and those 72 remaining games. So I'm on the side that the
Bucks
stay where they're at, and they're going to be fine. And they're going to be in the playoffs, and you guys are going to be some crow.
In the playoffs. Well, that would require them to do something, Ted. I hope you're right. I loved eating crow when I'm being negative and I get proven wrong by a team that behaves positively. But here's something the Pirates are going to have to do if they want to make the playoffs. And today's win, by the way, prevented the bad side of this yet again. Pirates are going to have to win 3 games in a row at some point. The last time the Pirates won 3 games in a row, if I can read this chart correctly, was May 4th, 5th, and 6th. They won 3 in a row. They followed that up immediately, and to no one's surprise, by losing 3 in a row. I don't believe, as I look at it right now, the Pirates have done more than two in a row on either side of it since back in mid-May. And today, again, prevented that from happening. They win today. They would have lost. It would have been three losses in a row. They have gone about 2 months without winning or losing more than two games in a row at any point in time. So maybe talking about a five- or a six-game win streak is pretty beyond the pale. Who knows? Ron is on 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Ron.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I want to answer your one question, and I want to do something defensive, Chapman. I don't know if you watched the game yesterday closely, but the catcher calling the game was horrible in the ninth inning, calling splinkers on 1-2 counts and 2-2 counts.
He also dropped a ball that could have been a strike three and would have put everything one out. Yeah, he did not. Trust me, I'm not going to excuse Yasmani Grandal for his role yesterday.
He called one curveball, four splinkers, and the rest sinkers and very few fastballs. I don't know. I pitched a lot of fast pitch in my life, and it's hard to go from fast to slow. But that's another thing is, remember, Holderman for a lot of weeks was pitching in the seventh inning position. The seventh inning is always facing the end of the lineup. Almost always.
Not always. It's completely random based on how the game has gone.
You figure the games, you look at their games, they're almost at the end of the lineup because you have six innings, two sets of outs, and then you have three or four hits and a couple walks, and you're at the end of it.
Have you done a scientific study? Hold on. Have you done a scientific study on this?
Yes.
I would be willing to bet. I would be willing to bet that he is not facing the bottom three in the order routinely. I could go look, I guess, and see what the splits say.
Well, not now because he's in the eighth inning.
I think you're usually just facing I think most games are random enough, Ron, that you're in the seventh or the eighth. I mean, chances are you've only got nine slots in there. You might see the ninth or the eighth guy, but you might just as easily see the second, third, and fourth hitters. That's why a lot of people complain that they wish the best reliever was used before the ninth inning, because a lot of times in the ninth inning, they aren't actually seeing the best part of the lineup.
Okay, well, just check it out a little bit.
Investigate it.
Okay, one more thing. I would like to see a change to the manager. Let this team stay as it is and bring in a new manager who wants to play some small ball in the early innings when they need to break open the lead, and has some coaches.
I mean, Derek Shelton's definitely playing small ball. You got guys trying to bunt with two strikes lately. What is it today? What is it with me on my own? Now, do we get a different class of caller? Do we get a different set of names when Pony's by himself, Donnie? You're the one who would be most in tune with this. I feel like I'm hearing from names I haven't heard from in a long time today.
I feel like it's mostly the same. I mean, it's hard from my vantage point to remember every single person, though.
No, I know. I'm laughing.
I'm just looking out for the James and Garfields, the Ben Chester, and Franklin.
Chester and Lake Arthur. Who else?
The Abraham and Lincoln.
Thomas and Jefferson Hills. Yeah. John and Adams Township.
I don't know if Pomp got hit with any of those.
Starkey must have been on the golf. Oh, you know what?
He's on vacation.
He must have been trying to golf, though. We had the Fine Jim Colony's Lost Golf Balls event at Moon. That event started just after 8:30 on a shotgun start, so the whole course is occupied at that point. Apparently, Starkey was all over them trying to get out at 6 in the morning. Well, come on, let me. I'll be off the course. That's how he is. He's a complete addict now. Text line's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates. It's 412-928-9370, and they're a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. but the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with All Trails.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
No need to wait until November to unwrap Black Friday deals. Blinds.com is having Black Friday in July. With some of the best deals of the season, Blinds.com is the better way to shop for customized window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Choose from premium blinds, shades, shutters, and more. Blinds.com even has outdoor shades for your patio. Blinds.com makes it easy. Need help with the measure and install? Blinds.com can take care of it for you. Their design experts are always ready to help you make the perfect selection with a free consultation. No matter how many window coverings you order, installation is one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered and their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you'll always rest easy with Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com's Black Friday in July now. Save up to 45% plus score premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You.
It's not any conversations that we had recently. It's the totality of our relationship. I met this guy in Knoxville, man, 6-7 years ago, whatever it was, when he came out of school. He's a great guy. He loves football. It's probably the totality of our relationship. And I think I probably represent the sentiment of the organization in saying that it's less about specific conversations, particularly of late, and it's about the relationship established over a longer period of time.
Mike, when you look at the legal situation that led to the end of his time in Detroit, did that give you pause about bringing him back in, or something you have to consider?
Certainly, certainly. That's just due diligence. That's what's supposed to happen.
And did you feel comfortable after doing that due diligence? And
obviously, he's here.
That was Mike Tomlin from just under a month ago talking about Cam Sutton. He's a great guy, loves football. I think I can speak for the organization with some of these remarks that he was making right there. And we got this breaking news from Donnie in his last fan headline. I was locked in talking Pirates with you, didn't see it. Cam Sutton suspended without pay for 8 games by the NFL for violating the league's personal conduct policy. So he gets reinstated October 29th after the Week 8 game. I'll just start right here, right now, and say this much. I think the length of the suspension here makes the Steelers look worse. The way they talked about the move, you got this strange sense, I think, that they organizationally were expecting it to be fewer games than it was. I tried to infer, I tried to read between the lines, And I thought maybe they think if it's a four-game suspension, given how bad things looked initially from a legal perspective and how somewhat quickly they got resolved, he was in a diversion program, pretrial diversion program, maybe they thought they were getting a player that was going to be suspended, yes, but not suspended for so long that it would essentially look like in the NFL's eyes he did something really bad. And here it is, half the season, basically. Functionally a half-season suspension for Cam Sutton. That makes me, right off the bat, think this looks bad for them, even more so than it did when they actually signed him. Because the league, in doing that, is saying, we've gone through the entire situation. We know that the league really has many avenues through which they can fact-find for these things. We've asked Mike Florio stuff like that. We've asked Aditi Kinkabwala how the league, and how teams, by the way, teams themselves individually, to say nothing of the league, go through the vetting process anytime there's something legal involved. We know that they have resources and that they are privy to conversations and information that we in the general public, even in the very avidly interested public, are not privy to. And so the implication there is usually if they bring in a guy, maybe yes, it's because they just want to win, but they might know that there's more to the story, quote unquote. Doesn't seem like in the NFL's eyes there was more to the story or there were mitigating circumstances here. That's a hammer of a suspension. That's the NFL telling you, we reviewed the Cam Sutton situation and it's every bit as bad as you would think it appeared to be. The league isn't slapping him on the wrist here. The league is saying, you're gone for half the season. You can't play till Halloween, basically. I don't know. That's my initial reaction here. I know we were talking Pirates. I still have more Pirates stuff I want to get to. But this has to be addressed. I didn't like it when the Steelers did it. I'm probably more of a Mike Tomlin defender, and I think Mike Tomlin generally has proven himself to be, by all accounts, a good person who cares about the right things and has like a healthy relationship with life and football. I didn't like it when he said he was a good guy in that clip when it happened a month ago. I don't like it now. And I really don't like the fact that at no point here has the NFL thrown the Steelers a lifeline and said, you know what, it wasn't as bad as people made it out to be. It was still suspension worthy, but maybe everybody got a little bit too far out over their skis. Still not good, but not crushingly bad. This is a crushingly bad situation. This is the kind of suspension you give a guy when you think he's really run afoul of everything as a league that you purport to be important. I didn't like it when they brought him in, Donnie. I didn't like it in the intervening days. I like it even less now. We all knew he was going to get suspended. I guess I had told myself it'd probably be in the 4-6 realm. Not like, it's like goofy because it sounds like I'm splitting hairs and saying if it had been a 4-game suspension, like, well, gee golly, maybe it wasn't so. No. 8 makes it look like the NFL saying, you really wanted to sign this guy? He's sitting for half the year. Good luck.
Yeah, I don't think any of the three of us, I'm trying to remember, I don't think Pony was a fan of the move either.
When he was very vocally not a fan of the move.
So none of us three were in favor of it at all. I mean, let alone the off-the-field stuff. We had concerns with how he looked last season. We had so many people tell us, oh, like this whole thing was misunderstood. Like, there was an odd amount of pushback from people that, like, to be honest, pissed me off. Like, the amount of people that push back like they do with anything to act like what he did was no big deal or it's misunderstood or, you know, justice will be served like in his direction, like that what he did was, you know, completely fine, was absurd to me. Completely absurd.
That he would be exonerated essentially.
Yeah. Like people just think like, oh, I mean, you know, what he did wasn't all that bad. Like he should get a slap on the wrist. Like it was.
Well, Florio even was unaware of how bad it was until I went back and read what they'd found in, what was it, the affidavit about like there being visible signs of injury and all that stuff. And that's when I remember Mike changed his tune majorly and said, oh, if he went into a pretrial diversion program, all bets are off. It's just, do you need him that bad? That's what this is the hill you're willing to die on. Like, and I'm not saying this makes it right, but teams make special allowances for special players. Let's be cynical for a second. If a huge name quarterback, and we have seen the Steelers make allowances for Ben, never charged with anything, but in plenty of situations earlier in his career that put egg on their face and they were willing to deal with it. To use Josh Allen for an example, if he got in huge trouble, but it wasn't something that was definitely sending him to jail, the Bills would definitely make it work. The punter they drafted? No, not happening. Now, a team took a chance on it. The Chiefs took a chance on him on Ariza after he essentially got cleared on all of that.
Right.
Like they really did go through the process with him. So now he's going to be free and clear. But teams make allowances for really good players at the most important position. We're not even sure the guy's good anymore. He doesn't play nearly as crucial a position. And now the NFL is telling you, you won't have him for 8 games. So what? The Steelers felt like this was worth it because they can get him back for the stretch drive and they'll just cross their fingers, I guess, for the first part of the
year? Yeah, I'm sure that they'll make it sound that way. Like they knew that some sort of heavy punishment would be handed down. I mean, you guys had Omar Khan on after they signed Cam Sutton, and he basically admitted to both of you that they had no clue what was going to come from the NFL when it came to this. And I actually believe him there. I know sometimes GMs, coaches can, you know, spew out nonsense. That's an answer that I believe when I hear Omar Khan say it, that they really had no idea what was coming from the NFL. Because I find it hard to believe that he and or Andy Weidel would think this is a smart roster construction move to bring a guy back that we don't think will be here for half the season. You know, I don't care what his price is. This was all about their love of reclamation projects. Well, he's been here before. We know him.
You said it there. I think they let the familiarity they felt they had for him and towards him override maybe what their investigative capacities might have dug up. Like, I would be, in fact, I feel like I can almost say this as point in fact without actually knowing it as fact. They knew way more about that case than me or you or Pony or anybody else. They knew more details about that case. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah. I mean, that was something Aditi mentioned that.
Aditi mentioned it more than anyone. She said that teams have plenty of resources to track down, like, not quote unquote the real story here, but they just have more access to more information because of the resources that they have, okay? I think they knew more about what actually happened, what they could credibly say happened in this case, than the average Joe Schmo on the sidewalk had. And I think they let, and I don't think it's just Mike Tomlin, because everything you heard about Sutton after the story first broke was, he's such a smart guy from a football standpoint. He's such like a, he was the kind of guy that would get bandied about as, if you could get a player show with Cam Sutton on the radio, man, people would find out, wow, this guy operates at a really, really high level. Like, he's really smart. He's really like conducts himself well, etc. And I have to believe that they let themselves get a little bit blinded by that. That's how I read all this. Because an 8-game suspension is a hammer. And that is, you did things that we really hate. They would basically what? They dropped what on Dante Stallworth for a vehicular manslaughter, like the DUI one. Wasn't that he was a full season, if memory serves. And that's about as bad as it gets, obviously, because somebody died. 8 games means we found nothing exculpatory here.
Yeah, he got a whole year.
Yeah, so eight games to me with how this played out legally means that from the NFL's perspective, they found absolutely nothing in their investigation of the incident to suggest that Cam Sutton deserved a break. You know what I mean? Or that Cam Sutton maybe wasn't unfairly accused, but that the initial reporting of the story did not tell the whole story. It sounds like the NFL came to the conclusion that this is exactly what Cam Sutton deserves here, and it's far from a slap on the wrist.
I mean, something makes me even wonder that if they look to see what else is out there, like, do you consider just cutting the guy?
I would think about it.
We already know that they're not paying him anything because that's what everybody was so gung-ho about.
Yeah, that's the other part. Yeah, he doesn't even get paid for this, so he's losing half a season in compensation. I would think about it if I were them. I'd do it because I would never have signed him in the first place. But
like maybe they because right now they're pretty thin there. We already know that. Like, we were worried about corner coming into the season. We knew that Sutton would fill into that nickel corner. You know, people around here love that nickel corner position, the slot corner. And now who are they going to have there? Beanie Bishop, the undrafted guy from West Virginia?
You'll find out.
I mean,
how
he
much
could
they
be a great. Who knows? He could be the next Mike Hilton for all we know. I don't know if I want to count on that.
You'll never know. You'll know how much they feel about Cam Sutton or what they feel about him from how they handle it from now on. Donnie Football Debrief is brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread, and we do love Saloni's Italian Bread, and we love the Debrief. Donnie, take it away.
The Debrief, July 8, 2024. Malzy, it is the Steelers' birthday. I know that's something you wanted to talk about a little bit later.
No. You can talk about it now. I got plenty of stuff.
Well, it's also the birthday of one of their greatest players. It is Jack Lambert's 72nd birthday. The favorite player, I would say, of every single person, every single male at least, in my dad's generation. It is his birthday.
Man, that is a big statement right there. I feel like there's a lot of Jack Ham. There's a lot. We got a lot of Ham lovers out here.
So,
I think the thinking man liked Jack Ham's game. And I think the...
But everybody loved Lambert. Like, I mean, I think like 8 out of 10 people, if you ask them, like, favorite Steelers from the 70s.
You think Joe Green wouldn't be high up that list?
He'd be high up the list.
Hold on. Timeout.
Lambert is.
If I asked 10 Yinzers on the street in 1977, let's say, right in the middle of the heyday, if I asked them on the street, who is your favorite Steeler, you mean to tell me 80% of them are telling me Lambert, and there's only two guys in that group of 10 who aren't saying Jack Lambert?
Maybe
you
not
got
that
Franco,
high, but majority.
You got Green, you got Bradshaw. By that point, people loved Terry because he was balling out in big games. You got Rocky Blyer. You got Ham. Blount.
I still think majority would say Lambert.
That is a hell of a bold call by you. You know that one thing I know for sure, if I had been alive in that era, you know who Mulsey's favorite player wouldn't have been? Lambert. I would have, because this is the kind of person I am, I would have admitted that he was good, but I would have always subtly hinted that he was a little overrated, that Ham was better. I would have found multiple people on that team to say, you know, they're just as important as Jack Lambert.
So I feel like people are okay to admit he wasn't the best player on that defense, because he wasn't. You had Ham, you had Joe Green. I mean, you could put Blount in the same argument.
Mm-hmm.
I just think fan favorite-wise.
Fair enough.
It's Jack Lambert.
All right, I have a question for you based off of all this then, all right? We always like to do Steelers Mount Rushmore type stuff. Let me get your answer on this one. Steelers Mount Rushmore for the players, the four guys who most embodied that classic what it means to be a Steeler, the attitude, the intimidation, the physicality, the toughness, all that stuff. So not your four best Steelers ever to play. But when you think of that whole, like, you're going to have welts on you after you play the Pittsburgh Steelers, who's on the Mount Rushmore? Lambert, obviously, for you.
I think Lambert and Green are pretty easy.
What about Bettis?
Bettis, probably your best pick, I think, from the two. Like, you could argue Hines Ward.
How about Ryan Clark? Just destroying people, I mean. Remember, this is not best players. This is guys who embodied that, like, platonic ideal of what it meant to be a Steeler.
I'm trying to think of some nasty offense. I mean, maybe Webster.
Pouncey was more of a great athlete. They haven't had, in my recollection of things, like an offensive lineman who was like Olin Kruch, just a nasty SOB. How about James Harrison coming off the edge?
Yeah.
Greg Lloyd. I mean, you start getting down the rabbit hole here of some very intense, bordering on crazy type of people.
I mean, I still think the only guy today would be Cam.
Cam, in an even different way. I don't know if Cam is intimidating, but I don't think of him like Lambert with the toothless look. Cam's the max effort. Like, what it means to be a Steeler is you never give up on a play. He's running guys down from behind. I put Lambert there. I put Harrison there, believe it or not, just because intimidation factor. I don't think James Harrison would have blinked if he would have been an offensive player staring at Jack Lambert across the line of scrimmage. I think Harrison would have been like, bring it.
You think of Bettis or Ward?
I got to put an offensive player on. I'm going to put Ward on, even though he was never about snarling. The fact that he just wanted to laugh at you after he like broke your jaw. So I'm going Lambert, Harrison, Ward. And probably Green. I mean, Green was like pile driving people. I mean, he was laying waste to human beings.
It's hard to not put Joe Green on like any Steelers Mount Rushmore, no matter the category.
All right.
Malzy, you know, I have a semi-claim to fame probably over, like, anybody my age.
Which is?
I met Jack Lambert when I was 5 years old.
At what kind of an event?
He was just signing autographs. I mean, I don't really recollect, like, what it was for. And John Football, he took me to meet Jack Lambert. Signed picture, I still have it to this day in a frame. There's, like, a funny little picture of me. Five-year-old me.
Do you have any recollection of? Do you have any recollection of what Lambert was like?
Well, he's definitely like super quiet, and but I mean, he was just signing autographs for people, so it's not like me.
So it wasn't
five
like
years old
wasn't
was
like
having
10 seconds of small talk, like, "Hey, little guy, what's your name?"
No, I mean, he got the name because he put it on there. Like,
he spell it right? D-O-N-N-Y.
Why he just put Donald on that one?
Oh, yeah. Little Donald, yeah. Chedrick.
Yeah, but I mean, how
would you
many...
say your dad had to be more excited to meet him than you were at 5 years old? Did you even know who he was at 5 years old? I'm thinking of Lennox and trying to explain to him, like, this is Antonio Brown, and he'd go, what?
I guess I had, like, the basic understanding. Like, I knew it was my dad's all-time favorite player. Like, that was pretty much entrenched in me from October of 95 onward. That was pretty much pounded into my brain. Probably not at that point, though, did I understand, like, how significant the guy was. No, absolutely not.
So he's 72, and the Steelers are 91 years old.
Yeah.
And Kazora, Alex Kazora over at Steelers Depot, we like Alex's work, posted the inaugural team picture in the Bumblebee uniforms with the ghost children in the background. Very creepy picture.
Yeah,
two little kids' heads in between some of the shoulders and forearms of these guys, like they just little apparitions. That was a good one, Donnie.
Seemingly no explanation.
Yeah, they're just
either.
There. Just two little creeps in the background. You have no idea what's going on there. All right. No, I knew you wanted to talk about that. I wasn't going to steal that for the hodgepodge.
No need to wait until November to unwrap Black Friday deals. Blinds.com is having Black Friday in July. With some of the best deals of the season, Blinds.com is the better way to shop for customized window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Choose from premium blinds, shades, shutters, and more. Blinds.com even has outdoor shades for your patio. Blinds.com makes it easy. Need help with the measure and install? Blinds.com can take care of it for you. Their design experts are always ready to help you make the perfect selection with a free consultation. No matter how many window coverings you order, installation is one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered and their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you'll always rest easy with Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com's Black Friday in July now. Save up to 45% plus score premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.